From the yeehaws
to the yayhoos
and everything in between,
this podcast is for you.
Welcome back to the podcast, where we're going to sit down and do a two-part series with the ladies from 4E Performance Horses. The first one we sat down with is no other than herself, Taylor Eastridge. She took West Virginia by storm at an early age and continued on to college rodeo now in Texas. She's back with us for the summer, so we thought it would be a perfect time to sit down with Taylor and learn all about her program and find out exactly how she got to where she is today.
We're here with Taylor Eastridge. We finally got her pinned down from school at the end of a barrel race after kicking everybody's butt. Imagine that. Is this your first show back since coming back?
Yes, it is. I got back Wednesday morning.
And you just dominated, so.
Somewhat.
There's your welcome home.
The adult results read Taylor Eastridge, first place. Second place, Taylor Eastridge. Third place, Taylor Eastridge.
We haven't heard that for a while, but
it's just weird being in the adult. Don't like that.
Yes, yes. So we just wanted to get you on here, and I think everybody really looks up to you, and you're a lady of few words, and so I feel like maybe people would really like to maybe get to know you a little bit.
Probably.
Maybe some of your secrets for kicking everybody's butt.
There's really no secrets.
It's hard work.
Those I'll never tell.
Yeah, spoken like a true champion.
Gatekeeper.
That's right. Well, do you want to start maybe by just telling us maybe when you started riding or how you got into horses? Or
I think I was 3, and our neighbor had a walking horse, and I would make my mom take me over to pet him every single day.
Oh.
And finally it got to the point, and the guy was a horse trader. He had a bunch of horses all the time, and he sold him to us, and he was a walking horse. And so my dad started riding, All he did was trail ride, walking horses. And that was slow, so I wanted to go fast. One time, my dad accidentally let my horse run off with me. We were trail riding, and he got off to pee, and he was ponying me. So he had me tied to the other horse. Well, his horse was a little crazy, and he wasn't holding it. So it took off down the main road and was flying. And they thought I was going to be scared and crying. And when they got to me, I was laughing. I said, I want to go again. And so I think they realized I wanted to go fast. So Kenny and Crystal, I started going with them to a barrel race on my little walking horse, getting lead lined with my dad. And then we met Johnny Bowyer, and he got me hooked up on some barrel horses, quarter horses, and taught me a lot of stuff. And him and Michael and Cody and all them.
What's really funny is I started out on a half quarter horse, half pony, or half walking horse, half pony.
Yeah.
And that's what I started running on.
People laugh at walking horses, but they're a great start. And some of them... Yeti, I was half standard bred, and he was a great horse.
Oh, yeah.
He taught me a lot.
I saw him at Crow last weekend.
He's still going strong.
Yeah, I saw him at Crow last weekend.
Such a good horse.
Yeah, it's funny. Like I said, I don't know. But it's also funny because your dad sounds like my parents, where it's like, a horse is a horse. It doesn't matter. They can do anything, because that's how we were, too. Whenever, you know, we just thought, you go in there, you turn 3 barrels, they don't. You know, it's a horse.
They don't think bloodlines matter that much. And sometimes they don't always, but they help.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
So tell us a little bit about your early start into barrel racing and any monumental horses you want to talk about.
What was your first, barrel horse that actually knew the pattern and knew what it was doing?
Poco, pretty much. A little Palomino. He is almost a pony. He's real little. He had done basically everything before I got him, like halfway done everything, and we knew he was navicular and we bought him, and like we took that in consideration, but he just taught me so much and taking care of him, and now he's retired, eating grass, happy.
How old were you when you got him?
That's probably 2012, so I'd been 9 or 10.
Gotcha.
And before that, he was a halfway barrel horse. And he bucked me off at Crow and hurt me, gave me stitches.
Oh, my gosh.
In the face. And I almost didn't start riding. Like, I almost quit. It scared me bad. And then Poco and Johnny and Michael was like, well, we're going to do this. And I got back into it. And I'm glad I did, because I almost quit.
Yeah.
It was bad. I was terrified.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people know that. But
right, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was bad.
I feel like I heard that your dad put you on stuff he shouldn't have or something, maybe, so.
No, not really. It taught me a lot.
That sounds like Whitney Beckwith and Rick. Like,
they all had a purpose.
Opportunities for learning, right?
I wouldn't have learned as much if I was put on something that knew everything.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean, if you're a kid that can handle that stuff, I don't think every kid can.
No.
But your dad knew that you could, and, you know, that's what makes a difference. But some kids, it would have crushed their confidence, but with you, you know, you were...
It taught a lot.
So how long did you run PICA?
Probably 4 years.
I don't remember that horse. I really
don't. I
do.
I will never forget the time. Do you remember when you took Kenny's little granddaughter in on Poco just to do the pee wees?
Yes,
and he like took off. He thought he was running barrels. And she came off. Oh no.
He was a firecracker.
He was a good horse though. He was so good.
He loved the poles.
I think that might have been around the time you were taking a break.
I really didn't run him at, like, barrel shows a whole lot. I mainly, like, high school rodeoed off him because he was so good at poles, and I goat tied off of him, and he just did everything.
All around.
And where he was navicular, I kind of pick and choose where I ran him because he would get sore. So.
Yeah, you got to really take care of those ones. Yeah.
And they're fragile. Where did you go next from there? Like, I think it's interesting, definitely mention Hollywood, because I think that people probably, not as many people know that you had him prior
to
Becca.
I had him we got him when he was four. Johnny brought him in from a sale and brought him to the house the next day and said, I got a horse for you. And he was the smoothest horse. He didn't know a ton about barrels, so I think we bought him and sent him straight to Johnny for like 30 days, maybe. And then I ran him for a little while, and he was just, at that point, he was a little excited going in the pen, and I still wasn't super confident then.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I think I had him in between Poco, like, when I had Poco and Yeti running. So he was just a little green, and Johnny priced him to Becky at a show one day, and I didn't want him to sell him. But he priced him, and she was like, yeah, I want to come try him. And she came and bought him.
You did have some good runs on him, though, didn't you?
I think so. I really don't remember. I think I took him to a couple shows.
I think that you did.
Yeah, and
I
then
I remember a couple.
I kind of stole him back when she and my dad got together. I was like, I'm taking him. And it didn't help. I didn't have a lot of horses going then, so she was nice and let me run him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
High school rodeo off of him.
Yeah. He's such a good horse.
So Johnny's who started him, too?
Yeah.
Gotcha. Johnny's the one that started my walking horse pony.
Yeah.
So I was really small, so I didn't really know him that well.
Yeah.
But he also had
bourbon.
Bourbon.
Yeah.
He took bourbon, my mom's.
Yes, I remember when he was there.
Yeah. Yeah. So you pretty much went from him, Poco, to Yetta?
Yetta and Thunder.
Oh, gotcha.
She had him for a while.
Him and then Ho.
Oh, I remember that. See, that's when I kind of remember you running Thunder, because is that the horse that ran up the rail?
A lot, yes.
Okay. I kind of remember
he would either run
that.
Up the rail or go win it. Like,
right.
There was no in between.
Yep.
I remember him, you on him, and I obviously remember Yetta, but didn't you run him with some of the other horses, too?
Yeah, I ran him with Ho a lot.
Because that's what I thought.
And then I got her.
And you had someone, were you running him and Yetta at the same time, too?
Yeah, they were all three kind of right there.
And
together.
Then you also had, didn't you take one of Deedle's, you had like three horses or four at Youth Worlds one
year
when
I had
you were
Mindy.
Running him. Mindy. That's who, yeah, I forgot about her.
When Ho got crippled at Winfield, I borrowed Mindy to take to Youth Worlds because it was, like, the next weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Yep. You did good on her, too.
She was a lot of fun.
She was a nice mare.
What horse is that?
David's horse, Mindy.
Oh, the bay horse?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you ran her.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I ran her for a couple months.
Oh, okay.
Took her to Youth Worlds and Open Worlds.
Oh, I didn't know that. I do remember Ho.
Yes.
I was at Waynesburg
that
weekend.
That barrel race, yeah.
Yeah.
Glenn Watkins was terrified to death, didn't even want to watch the run.
I know.
And then you went in there and won it. And Julie was like, see, I told you
they'd
be
fine. She was a lot of horse. But I had been on a lot worse.
Right.
You were,
not,
ready.
You
were
well.
Ready for her.
Yeah, I was. It was short-lived, but
such
it was
such a shame.
Good. It was.
Because you guys would have
set
the world on fire.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
I
didn't know if you guys had her still.
No, we had her in had a baby out of her, and the baby didn't make it, and then we gave her to Michael, and then he took her somewhere.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
She didn't like being a mom.
Oh, she didn't.
She didn't.
But she was a good mom, but she didn't want to be another mom. She wouldn't take again.
Yeah.
We didn't want to, I don't know, we don't have good luck with raising babies.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
It's tough.
It is.
It's not for the faint of heart.
It's not.
Do you prefer, so you would prefer to just buy something?
I would prefer to, yeah, than to watch it be born and have that stress.
Yeah.
Like, when she was having her baby, I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah,
so
it is.
So I'd rather find something a year old, 2 years old.
You know, it has four legs and two eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, of course I want a baby out of all my good mares.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to be rich enough to pull embryos so my good mares
don't have to have it.
Because
yeah.
It stresses me out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's smart. It's the way to do it if you can afford it, for
yes,
sure.
Yes, for sure. That's a long ways away. But.
So fast forward, I guess who was after those group of horses?
Probably, well, I had Myrtle and Kate, the Palomino.
You've been through some horses. I forgot about them. In your short career, you have been through hands. I mean, not that your career has been super short, but like, you had your hands as a youth on a lot of horses.
And nice horses, too.
Would you say that contributed to some of the things that you learned? And
it taught me not to ride every horse the same, because they're all different, and they all have their style. I think a lot of people try to make horses their style, but you can't really do that.
You do.
Very true.
You can't do that as much as you'd like to.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good advice.
Myrtle was great. She placed at junior high nationals. If I could keep the barrels up, she was great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She loved the poles, too.
That was the Palomino, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The real dark Palomino.
Yeah.
And Kate, was she bay?
Yeah, she looked almost just like bay.
Yeah,
With the wider braids. I didn't get to run her a whole lot before they went home. They weren't mine.
Right.
I was just riding them. And then, I don't know where. Freckles.
Yeah,
we got him
from
Carla.
One of my favorites, also.
I love him.
Him and Hollywood. I have a thing for geldings.
And he's still going. Me either. He's still going.
Yes, he's
I
still
feel
going
like
with
I just
Janet.
Saw him. Did she have him at Crow, maybe?
Probably.
Yeah, she did.
I saw
and
her
she
there.
Had, I think she had a good run. I was so crazy at Crow, I don't remember, but I think that she had a good run.
I miss
run.
Him a lot.
Yes.
He was just mainly consistent.
Yeah.
And safe.
Walking
the pen. You know he'd take care of you.
Yeah.
I miss having that.
Yeah. What made you sell him?
I needed a truck. And I needed a down payment on the truck.
Yeah.
And
so you
adulting?
Yeah.
Running.
Adulting made you sell him?
Yeah.
Trying
to get ready.
So while you were running him, you were starting Bebe.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. And I had Fly in between there.
Yeah, I forgot
about gray.
That. The gray fly horse, yep.
That's the only reason I got Bebe.
Because you dealt, because then you started dealing with Chuck, right?
Yeah.
Chuck Gibbons?
Yes. He bought Fly up at Springfield at the New Year's show.
Mm-hmm.
He came up to me and bought her, and I thought he was joking. I was like, hang on, no. I cried. It was the last horse me and Johnny did together, so it was very...
Aww.
I almost didn't sell her for that reason. And I was like, that's more money than I've ever seen before.
Right.
And we dropped her off, and Bebe, he took us earlier that day and showed us a bunch of babies. And I wanted some already kind of started, because, like, she was started, and I didn't want to wait.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a bunch of unbroke ones, and I liked the bay that was in the field. And then we went, I was like, nah, I'm going to wait a little while to find the right one. Well, then we went out and eat, and it was dark, and it was raining, like, 30 degrees. They were in a huge field. While we were eating, we were like, you know, we want to go get that horse. So we turn around and get back to his house, and we're like, we're never going to catch this mare. She's in a field with a bunch of babies. She comes running to the gate.
Oh, my God.
Left all the other horses, came running to the gate. And I was like, that's just meant to be. Like, that is meant to be. And it has been.
Oh, yeah. She's super
our
nice.
Our decision sometimes, like, is it crazy to sit back and think,
yeah,
like, you almost didn't
I
buy
almost
her,
didn't buy
even.
Her. And it would be, I'd be really sad right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She's my little baby.
She's so nice.
She's spoiled. We need to get our crap together, but.
Oh, gosh.
I feel you. Don't we all?
We've been in a slump, but.
So, was she your first, like, 1D Super Show horse that you trained yourself? Or
yeah, she was the
there...
first one I did by myself.
Okay, that's what I thought, but I didn't know if...
Yeah.
Freckles had been or not. Did you train Freckles, too?
No, he came from Carla.
Okay.
And she was mad at him at the time. We caught her on a bad day mad at him. He could be a little turd. But
can't all geldings.
On his good day, it was a good day.
Very cool. So tell us, I guess, about your horses now, because I know you still have Bebe, and then we'll get into you training them. And
yeah, I have Bebe now and Chick. She's a 4-year-old, so it's kind of her first year. She's only been entered since November, and really, she's probably been to 10 shows since. I haven't been running her legs off, just trying to keep her solid. And that's my only two I have running. I have 2 rope horses.
And how are they bred?
Chick is out of Spitfire fame. I think she's granddaughter of Spitfire fame. The horse that Theta ran for a while. And okay. Her mom's coining a jewel that I know Jamie and Katie Huffman have a bunch of horses out of her.
Yeah.
She's bred good. She's my graduation present.
Aww.
Her and her little sister. Her little sister's a little pony right now. She needs to grow. But
because she's pretty big, right?
Yeah, she's probably 16 hands.
Yeah.
And how old is her sister?
3.
3. Okay.
She's getting broke right now at Cody's.
Cool.
So hopefully by the fall she'll be ready to start.
Yeah.
And Bebe is Ragtime's Jet, and her mom is What's a Rare. They're both really proven. And Chuck's daughter broke both of them and ran both of them. So I think that bloodline just likes young girls. Like,
right.
I think they like the attention of it.
Yeah, huh?
And she looks just like her parents. And her mom actually died a couple years after having her. So there's very few babies out of that mom. And they're all nice.
Yeah.
She's so nice. I remember up here at the ranch, the beginning of her 3-year-old year, you were just starting to exhibition her.
Yeah.
And we were like, she's so
nice. Oh
yeah,
she's
just been
clocking.
Easy. Like,
yeah.
She was easy to break. I saddled her and stuff myself, and I think I rode her in the barn a couple of times. And then I was like, I'm not taking a chance of messing her up, so I'm just gonna quit there. And I sent her to Michael and Cody, and they broke her. And then I think they put 3 weeks or 4 weeks on her. She came back and she just was so smart. Like, she
so nice.
Did everything I asked her to do. And then I was like, well, couple weeks later, I was like, I think she's ready for a barrel. I started her on a barrel, and she just took to it. Like, I was trying to trot her, and she wants to lope. Like, she just always wants to go fast. And I'm like, girl, you gotta calm down. But that's her style.
Well, you also have trained your rope horse. At least you...
Yeah.
Pig, right?
Pig started out as a barrel horse, and she's a halfway decent barrel horse. She's just short and fat. So I was like, I need a rope horse, too. So I started roping off of her, and I think she likes it better.
Yeah.
She
seems really solid, though.
She is. She gives me my shot almost every time.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And you trained her yourself,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I did.
I thought so. Yeah.
I didn't know what I was doing with that.
Well, so do you mainly break away on her, or do you do, like, team roping on her, too?
In high school, she'll do whatever I ask. I've heeled off of her, headed off of her, breakaway.
That's cool.
Some friends of mine at college run goats off of her, and she'll run barrels and poles.
That's awesome. So she'll literally just
do
whatever.
And
that's cool.
Yeah. She'll probably be at a couple barrel races this summer because she won't get to rope very much.
Yeah. There's not much rope.
No.
You probably got to rope a bunch at school, right?
Oh, yeah. A lot.
Do you like that?
Yes. I do. I get to where I'm like, do I like that better than barrels sometimes?
Right.
When I get
to
do it a lot.
Yeah.
It's just so fast-paced. And
you got to think fast.
Yeah.
And
yes, for sure.
Yeah.
But
so before we get into kind of some of your training and your daily routine and things like that, tell us about Texas. I think that you were one of the first or very few people that have came from here and went to college rodeo.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's very busy in the nursing program. So I'm in class all day. As soon as I get out of class, I normally ride my barrel horses before class because in the evenings, the arena's full of ropers, and there's just no good chance to really, like, work the barrels and ride them without distractions, which has also been good for them to do that sometimes. So I try to ride them first, and then as soon as I get out of class, I rope calves all evening, basically.
Every day.
Every day.
That's nice.
At least 4 days a week.
So do you have a class where you ride horses?
No.
What do you mean after class?
After,
like, in the evenings.
In the evenings.
You ride them first.
Yeah,
I thought you were saying you rode them in class. I'm like,
no.
You get to ride horses in class?
I wish. I wish. I'm in a classroom all day.
Oh. So, what is it like in Texas as far as the barrel racing and roping scene that's different out there than here?
Super competitive. Like, if you're not a 2-2 or faster in breakaway, you're not getting money.
Wow.
And it's just all luck of the draw. There's a lot of factors, but It's super competitive. Barrel's super competitive. Like here, I feel like we have a good bit of 1D horses, but out there, there's every horse entered is a 1D horse.
They're
right,
a
it's
like
none.
They're
yeah.
all in. It's just, I feel like they're 5 years ahead of us on everything. You know,
yeah.
like figuring stuff out and.
Yeah.
I think that makes a difference with having like a vet around every corner.
Yeah.
You have, like, everything is at your fingertips there.
It
and
is.
I don't even think, like, I understand the extent of it, but it's, like, what you drive, like, 10 minutes and you can find basically whatever, at least 30 maybe.
Just about. I'm in real North Texas, so I'm just barely in there. But there's still a jackpot almost every night of the week, whether it be breakaway or barrels. Like, I can find somewhere to go almost all the time, under an hour and a half.
Right.
And it's nice. Our college rodeos aren't too far, so that's one of the reasons I chose that region.
We don't have to
drive too far.
Right, that's nice.
Our furthest one's 6 hours.
What about, like, vets and things? Are there a lot of good performance vets
there
close?
There is a lot. There's a lot. Outlaw isn't, it's like 2.5 hours for me, and then Double X isn't far either. So there's a lot of.
Yeah, that's nice.
So considering the competition, but the convenience, has it been easy or hard for you to adjust to things?
I think the hardest part is a new environment, new people. And like when you come here, there's just a sense of home.
Uh-huh.
When you go to a show, you know everyone. Everyone knows you.
Yeah.
It's weird being the girl that no one really knows. And,
yeah.
But it's all right. Sometimes that's nice too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So do you think life after college that you'll stay somewhere like that, or do you think you'll come back home?
I don't know yet. It depends how this last year goes.
Yeah.
And I'll probably come home. Not.
At least for a little while,
yeah.
and then decide from there.
Yeah, at least I'll be able to work pretty much anywhere. So
yeah.
I'll try to figure that out within this year.
Do you think you're gonna you think you'll miss that though, all that competition and all that?
Oh, probably. I can drive out there whenever I want though.
Yeah.
You
and
can.
Go to as many shows.
Out there you're on the which rodeo team are you on?
Northeast Texas Community College. It's in the southern region.
Okay. And have you guys done well this season? Are there?
I placed at one rodeo. Not. And that was in breakaway. It wasn't even in barrels. I did not have a good year at all. I had my freshman year so much better. I placed not so much better. I only placed twice then, but.
Well, I feel like that gives people hope, though. So I'm glad that you said that on the podcast.
Yeah.
Like even Taylor Eastridge can have some
rough
times.
It's been
rough. Or, you know, that's really cool for people to hear.
My freshman year, I placed in the barrels twice on Bebe. And then this year, we either knock or blow a barrel or don't run or draw bad grounds.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had a year full of excuses, pretty much. But
it
happens.
I don't really feel like you make too many excuses.
I try not
so.
To.
No,
if I do, I get called out on it. But
and it truly does happen. You
and
know,
then
even
breakaway.
The best.
Same deal, broken a lot of barriers, been 1-6s and broken 1-6 three times and broke a barrier.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Then,
but you feel the pressure. I mean, if you have to be under a 2-2, you feel
late.
The pressure. Like, you're gonna break barriers
and then
just trying to.
I did place at our second to last one. I was second, tied for second in the long round, and then I missed in the short round. So.
Man.
But for real, I think that people will, that maybe will make some people feel better because I think
so.
Everybody thinks that you are, you know, unbeatable and you can't, you know what I mean?
And once
and
you
like,
get on top, like you're just always there.
Exactly.
And
oh no. You're never, rinse due every day.
Right.
You can't.
Yep.
You don't win them all. And that's hard for me because I want to win them all, but I know you can't. And.
Yeah.
You gotta be patient, wait for your time.
Yeah.
You do. That's what I just told Rayleigh. I said, if you work hard enough, everybody gets their time.
Yeah.
And you just have to be happy for the people who it's their time now.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you keep working through that, it will be your turn.
And, like, everyone here sees me coming home and doing good, but I've probably knocked 20 barrels out of 25 in the past. 6 months.
That's a bummer.
I have knocked a lot of barrels, and I just have not been clocking, haven't been doing good. I've really been down on myself, so this helped a lot.
Yeah, you needed the win.
Yes, I did. And I'm excited for my baby. I think she'll do good.
Yeah.
See, that's awesome, and I know we've just said that, but Everybody gets down.
They do.
Everybody gets down. Everybody has bad years. It's not just a day or a weekend or whatever. And like, we would have never known that. Like, I would have never known that you were losing, you know what I mean? You were down and losing confidence and things like that. Like, but we all do it, and it's so easy to do.
It is super easy.
So, and that big, you know, Fallon can sit there and tell you, Fallon Taylor or whoever, you know, Stevie Hillman, Haley Kinzel, they can tell you those things, but I think it's more relatable when it's somebody you know and you talk to every day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just so expensive and it's so hard. And
I feel bad to complain about it because I know there's been people that's been down for longer, you know, and you just have to keep working.
Yeah.
If you love it, then you just, you keep going. And if you're crazy enough.
Maybe it's crazy.
It's definitely crazy.
It's fun. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. And if it's not fun, there's probably a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you don't enjoy it, I think you have to.
And I catch myself sometimes getting mad. I'm like, you know what? I hear my dad, when the fun stops, we stop.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I gotta start having fun again.
Yeah.
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 Yep.
That helps a lot.
And do you think, I don't know, this is just a little bit of, I just want to pick your brain a little bit because I think people would like to hear it, but, you know, I think sometimes it's easy if you're struggling with a horse. Like, some people want to stick with the horse too long. Some people don't want to stick with the horse, you know, long enough. And it's like, what is that balance between, like, can, in your opinion, like, how do you determine, like, if it's just something that you don't think you're ever going to be able to get along with, or if it's just something that you have to keep working? Because, you know, sometimes I think people, they don't see that initially, and it's like, if you just keep, because you hear some people say, well, if you just keep working, you'll get it. But then I think some people stick with it too long, and then they get their confidence down, and then, you know, it's, they feel like they're giving up, you know.
Yeah. I've had to give up on a couple, and I've had to keep going with a couple. And I think, for me, mostly I just think, will someone else do better on this horse?
Mm-hmm.
And if I think they will, if it fits their style better, I'm like, maybe it's
you'll
time.
Get rid of them.
And if I think, well, you know, this horse is kind of weird. Maybe I just need to figure it out longer. I'll figure it out. But I think you definitely have to eliminate stuff like soreness, lameness, all that first before you can even decide to give up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the hope of getting them feeling better is sometimes the hope you need to get your crap together.
Right.
And the hope of it in general is just you got to have a little bit.
Right.
Because if you don't have any, there's no point to keep trying.
Right.
I think it depends on your mental game a lot more than anything, too. Because if you think you and this horse are never going to get together, you're
probably
never going to get together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you find something wrong with them, it helps you have the confidence
to keep going.
To keep going. And if not, sometimes you've got to take the, I don't know, one step forward, five steps back. Sometimes you got to really look for that one step forward and just keep motivating yourself off that one step.
Right. Which and is hard sometimes.
It is hard. Because when if you sit there and say, I've won one barrel race, but I've not 20 barrels, and you got to just keep going to that positive. You can't look at the negative.
Right.
Yeah.
You got to kind of, I read a book and it was like, you got to have a neutral mindset. And you do, because if you're positive, you're lying to yourself half the time.
You are.
Mm-hmm. But if you're negative, you're just holding yourself back. So you got to be neutral and look at both sides and just go wherever you can go.
Do you feel like if there's a horse that you haven't been able to get along with, and you do you feel like you have failed as a jockey if you can't get along with that horse? Or do you just look at it as, this horse just isn't, like, it's not a big deal. Like, this horse just isn't my style and somebody else could do better. But does that, like, hurt your feelings or your confidence if that happens?
It does hurt my feelings, but I try not to let it bother me because it's like relationships. You can't force yourself to be with someone. So, same with horses. You can't force yourself. Sometimes personalities just don't line up.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that happens. Someone else might get along great with them.
Yeah.
But, and part of it's like, did I do enough? Did I try long enough? But it's like, you can only try for so long, you know?
Yeah.
You can only waste so much money and so much time in a horse and get nowhere for so long.
Yeah.
And I sold Thunder. I couldn't get along with him great. Like, we had our bad days. But I was like, I can't have a maybe horse. Like, you need that horse that you can count on, because there's too many good ones to write a bad one. There really
That's
is.
What I say, and they cost the same. It costs the same to feed a good one as a bad one. That's what my dad says.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. You feed the good ones a little extra.
It might cost a little. It costs a little bit more to have a good one, right?
Yeah.
I get that completely.
More treats.
Yeah, I understand that. I just wondered, because I know, like, even with me and the yellow horse, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I stuck with him way too long, because I just thought, there's no reason why I shouldn't be able to ride this horse. And, like, now, but it taught me a lesson.
Yeah.
You know.
It does. And I know you had a lot of other people run him, so, I mean, you knew it wasn't just you.
Right.
That helps a lot, too. I've had it horses that I'm literally the, like, baby, Cody's going to kill me for saying this, but I let him run around a show when I was in my biggest slump of hitting barrels, and he had a clean run, beautiful run. He's like, yeah, it's totally the horse, isn't it? And I'm like, no, I know it's not the horse. I know it's me. And I think that's a lot of it, is sometimes you got to throw other people in there that can ride and can jockey a horse to see, you know.
Is it me or is it not?
I do that all the time. I'm like, I need you to run my horse so I can see if this is.
And sometimes you learn a lot by watching them.
Yeah, it can help.
Sometimes you just.
I learn a lot more by watching someone do something right than them tell me to do it.
Yeah.
And then, like, it gives me.
Watching videos teach me a lot.
Yes.
I'll watch a video 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And pick it apart.
Yeah. Me too. So you brought up mental game a little bit. Talk to us about that, because I feel like you are one of the most calm, cool, and collected riders that I've been around. And do you ever get nervous?
I don't know if it's nervous, but I don't know what it is. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I don't.
Do you ever, do you, have you, or have you ever felt like, oh, I don't want to go in here and run, what am I doing?
No.
Like, have you ever had any of that negative,
no. I
like,
always
thought?
Want to go in there. It's like, I gotta,
you're
sometimes
excited
I just
to
put
go
so
in.
Much pressure on my, it's not really nervous, it's kind of pressure.
Okay.
And I just put pressure on myself, and I'm like, you know what, calm down. You're not doing this to win, you're doing this to have fun, and winning's a bonus, so.
Yeah.
Calm down, like, none of it really matters, you know?
I feel like, in general, the 1D put you that pressure on
it does.
You because
and
everybody knows, like, okay, well, this person's gonna go in and or this horse can
yeah.
So if you don't have a good run, it's like, well, then it's me, like,
right? Yeah, it happens. And I
so
really
how do you manage
get,
that, or how do you deal with that?
I don't know. I just deal with it.
You just do it.
I try to just talk to myself, and I'll being rushed is the best thing ever for me. Like, my dad will yell at me all day long. He's like, you need to hurry, you're this number. Like, I know. But I cannot, I can't sit up there. And my horses can't sit up there.
Nope.
So,
same way.
It's so bad for them to sit up there.
And
people don't realize, like.
No. Like, if they're not calling my name and I'm down here, then there's a problem. Because that's where I need to be trotting to the arena.
Yeah.
Because I need to not be thinking about it.
And horses don't take as long to warm up as what people think. Like, you don't need to be on a horse 50 horses
you
before.
You just wear them out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I've seen some that you have to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a difference, though.
My little baby that I have now, she was like that for a while. Like, you had
to
her
wander down.
Wet, or she would buck. And
oh my God.
It's just, but now she's out of it. Now I know how to get her out of it within 5 minutes, because I know I'm not that rider. So I was like, you need to figure this out. Cause I'm not sitting on you all day.
Yep.
Me either. I would. I couldn't. I can't do that.
Mm-mm.
No, I can't.
I'll
do
it if I have to, but. I know when I run multiple horses, you don't have the time for that, so.
No, that's for sure.
Like, Myrtle, she went through a big bucking stage for a while. Like, literally, I'd ride her in the mornings before we left for a show to make her not buck.
I did not know that.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Every horse is different.
They are, and I feel like when you're on young horses, too, that's definitely more likely to happen, and then there's some horses that have ran for years that are like that too, but most of the time I feel like it's a young horse
Bebe, thing. Tater, and Doc, I've warmed them up for maybe like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're good.
Yep.
Make sure they're loose and stuff, and that's all they need.
Yeah.
What kind of warm-up, what do you do typically? What's your warm-up routine for?
I'll typically lope just like big circles, and then I'll lope them about equal both ways, and then really get them on their butt a lot. Do a lot of rollbacks and flexing them, counter-arcing them, making them move over. A lot of little stuff to get their attention.
Yeah.
Get everything loosened up, ready to set down. Because if you don't set them down, how do you expect them to set down
right.
at a run?
Right.
So I try to make sure they're prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And Bebe and Chick like shoulders, so I really work on getting them picked
moving
up,
over. Moving the shoulder. Over,
because if I don't focus on that shoulder and the ribs, we'll crash every second barrel there is.
The second barrel is tough.
That's my
nemesis.
They know that second barrel. Why can't we have like two third barrels? I feel like third barrels.
I don't like the third barrel.
Like
either.
If I have to set barrels, I'm gonna tell everybody my secret. If I have to set barrels, I'm like, I'll go set the third. That's
you,
the one
it
you
is
have to set up
least,
the last.
Yes, that's true.
I don't know if it's why I'm right-handed or what, but I love the first barrel. And I hate, it can't be, because I hate the second and third barrel running left, too. So.
You're like, yes, that's not what it is.
Are you like, just loping around and stuff? Are you more dominant one way?
I don't know, because I've had horses, like...
I'm more dominant to the left, and I prefer the
left
barrel.
It really doesn't... I feel like my horses are always softer to the right, but... I've had horses that struggle to pick up the left lead and, like, starting them, too.
Yeah.
So, it's just, I don't know. It depends on my day. I'm different every day. I don't know why.
Well, I think, I'm sure that, I'm sure that it doesn't have anything to do with you being dominant one way or the other, because you've ridden for so long.
Yeah.
You probably don't have a weaker side, really.
No.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm...
Unless you're, like... Yeah, I think that's probably true. Unless you're riding, like, one horse that consistently
does...
You're probably on horses that have different dominant sides, too. And
that
makes a difference.
I've had a lot of babies that just pick their dominant, you know?
Yeah.
Like, some horses... Myrtle would never pick up the right lead in a circle, and it killed me. And I was like, this horse never going to turn the first barrel because she won't pick up her right lead. Well, I had to learn. She's going to pick up the right lead going to a barrel.
Yeah.
And it's bad to let them get in those habits, but it's like, if it works, it works. And when it breaks, we'll worry about it, but we're not going to worry about it till it breaks.
That's what my colt right now, he will not take his left lead, and I'm just like, I don't care right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to fight. Like, I try it every day I ride him. We try it, and I'll try it three or four times, but like, but he rides perfect.
Yeah.
Like, and I can move him over, I can counter arc him, so I'm like, why would I pick a fight over that one thing?
Yeah. Sometimes it's risk versus benefit. You gotta figure
out.
To
me, it's because I think people, this is just me.
Yeah.
And maybe you're opposite, so that would be good conversation. But like, to me, yes, I want my horses to be on the correct lead. I understand that they should be. But I don't focus on leads on babies. They'll figure it out. They're not stupid.
I know a lot of people focus on them a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry about them. I do. Like, when I'm...
You're not ignoring it.
No, I'm not ignoring it.
Same with me.
I'm really worried about my right lead going to the barrel when I'm starting a horse.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can do a circle there starting a horse and teach them to pick their right lead up.
Right.
But the second barrel and third barrel is harder to teach them to pick a lead up. Because I don't want to interrupt them.
Right.
When they're... going, I feel like stopping them and correcting them hurts their confidence more than letting them figure it out on their own.
Right.
Like, you run a horse to the barrel on the wrong lead, they're going to figure out to change it. They're
going
to fall down or going to hit a barrel. They'll figure it out.
Yep, I agree.
And doing that so many times, hopefully they'll figure it out.
Now, did she ever actually lope a circle? Like, would she lope it after you ran her, or she just never would pick that lead up?
She never would. And... I have half of me, like, I'm a crazy barrel racer, but I also rope.
Yeah.
And my first rope horse, Chester, he was a head horse, too. Head horses don't pick up their right lead. People don't want them to.
Right.
Because if they go left in the right lead, they will fall down.
Right.
When they turn a steer. So, him and my head horse I just sold, neither one of them pick up their right lead. Because they're literally started to not pick up their right lead.
Right.
Because you don't want them to. I've watched a horse fall down before because they're in the right lead.
Yeah.
Pulling a steer left. Or you'll pop their shoulder out. Like,
right.
It's safety precaution, really.
Right.
So I've had to just deal with, I'm not going to let my horse to the right in public because they will be on their own.
Okay, so listen, when I start bringing deeks and I only lope one way, now you know the secret.
Oh,
that's why, okay? You'll be like, oh, she still doesn't have that left lead yet.
I'd rather lope one way than look stupid loping
Me
on the
too,
wrong way.
Me too, because you know people are going to be like, yeah,
I tried
she
a lot.
She doesn't know.
I tried a lot to the other way, and I'll look that way.
Well, and I'll wink at you when I go by, and you'll be like, oh, that damn horse still hasn't picked his left lead up. You're going to know.
For sure.
Yeah, I think that, like we were talking about, even with breaking colts, I think people worry a little bit too much about horses being perfect.
Yeah.
And they're not perfect, just like we aren't perfect. And I think we expect too much from them.
We do.
And I think that that hurts their confidence, too. I think you pick your battles, and
yeah,
especially with colts.
You can overpick them, or you can let them bite too much.
Mm-hmm. There is a line. There is.
My horses, I feel like they love me, but they respect me. Like,
right.
They've got to. Yeah. Because if they don't respect you, you're gonna have a little toddler that's 1,000 pounds.
Right. One way, yeah, too much either way is bad.
So. Well, and that's, we went to the Marnie clinic, and Bob was just saying, which I agree, and I feel like I kind of learned that from Glenn, because Glenn, I feel like Glenn and Julie, well, you ran the hoe.
Yeah.
They...
Everyone probably thinks we're crazy saying her. The hoe.
Yeah, I know.
That's her name.
That was her name.
And it was hilarious when Taylor, how old were you?
12, 13.
Had a horse named Hoe. It was really funny.
Yeah. But Glenn would always just say that people pick on him too much, and he always used to tell me, like, you know, they'll figure their leads out. Like, don't worry about it. You go in, just like you said, when you go in there and you know, they're going to fall over,
and
or they're
going
to swap to the right lead. Yeah. It's going to be hard on you. But I think people worry way, way, way too much about those things and not enough about others.
Yeah.
You know, like.
You got to pay attention to everything.
And you can't micromanage.
No.
Like, you can't micromanage them.
No, you can't.
I've seen that turn bad.
Sometimes I'll lose my patience. My patience has gotten shorter.
Don't we all?
But sometimes it helps, sometimes it don't.
Right.
But sometimes getting mad will help. And
it definitely depends on the
depending
horse.
Depending on the horse. Taylor getting mad does no good.
That's how happy he is.
Yeah.
And that's why I can't, like, he will get so frazzled, and he gets, like, anxious.
Yeah.
If you jerk on him, and that's one reason why I hadn't sold him, was because I knew that somebody was just gonna try to beat him to death to get him to run, and he's not gonna do that. He's not gonna do that. Like, you're not going, just like you said, you can't change a horse's style.
No.
And you're not gonna change his style.
No.
You know? So, I don't know. That's why he was a pasture pup for ever, you know?
It paid off, though. He has a great home now.
Yeah.
And not even just with barrels, but with everything in general. Like, I think there are some horses that you can give them a little smack, and they're like, oh, okay, like, sorry, I'm not going to do that again. And then other horses, you smack them, and they lose their ever-loving mind. Like,
personally,
you just have to know your
horse.
That's
why I like mares, because I feel like you can correct them. And
you can.
And they figure it out.
They don't get their feelings
they
heard.
They do not.
Bernice
don't
is the exception to that rule.
Yeah, well,
you,
that was
you
created,
hit her, she gets frazzled. Yeah.
That was
Collars
created,
like
though.
I just have the weird mares.
I've had some geldings that will just wig out when you get onto them.
Really?
And I'm like, Tater, you can't really discipline him. He just gets madder.
Really?
And I feel like I let him by with everything, but
you're like, it's not worth it.
No, it's not worth the fight. And my head horse I sold, he was the same way. He was, you know, he was as big as Doc and Tater, 16-2, and he'd run all over top of you, and if you try to correct him, it just got so much worse.
Was that the sorrel?
Yeah.
Oh, you sold him?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
In February.
Oh, okay.
I did.
Now, were you showing him much, or were you mostly using pig?
I was just running him at college rodeos the head off of.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't headed off pig for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of came to the point, coach couldn't really get me a good healer. I wasn't really doing how I should, and $70 entry fee. And I'm like, if I don't have a healer and I can't do my job, why am I doing it?
Right.
I was like, you know, I'm in class till 4:30. I'd rather have another calf horse that I can rip calves on, focus on that for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
I know how to head. I can always pick it back up.
Right.
But I'd rather just focus, because I don't feel like anyone's really good at three events. You kind of got to
decide what you're going to, like,
master.
I just got tired of spreading myself so thin, and it has helped.
Has it?
Yeah. I lucked in to find another little horse. She was just broke. She was kind of put on the back burner, so I got a really good deal on her.
Oh, I didn't realize you had another one.
Yeah, her name's Pip.
Oh, okay.
I'm probably going to start her on a barrel this summer, because she's also not going to get to rope that much.
Yeah.
So I'm like,
give her a job.
Yeah. But she's came along really fast, and she fits in with my mares.
That's nice.
I was like, I'm not getting another gelding.
Oh, me either.
I'm sorry. It could be the best horse in the world, and I'd think about it, but I probably wouldn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But.
So you have how many more years left of school?
One there.
One there?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
One more.
So you, and then you'll come back, or you got other?
We're gonna see how this year goes, but I'll probably come back.
Gotcha.
Finish get my bachelor's online, and then start working. And go from there.
And you're gonna be a nurse?
Yes.
Right.
An RN.
An RN.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So now we're gonna pull out some of those secrets she said she never told. So tell us, you told us about warming up. Tell us, what do you do after a run with your horses? What's your routine with that?
It depends if they'll walk to the trailer or they'll drag me.
I like it.
If they'll drag me, I'll ride them to the trailer. And I know that makes me a terrible person, but
I'm
not getting drugged, I'm not getting kicked. I'm not getting stepped on.
Right.
Because I got another one to get on down here.
Right. Right. You don't have time for the BS.
Because I have gotten drugged. And I love Bebe to death, but she will drag me. And I'm like, it's good for you to walk.
Yeah. So you can carry me down.
If they will walk, I will get off of them and loosen the saddle, take the bridle off. But if they're going to drag me, I will stay on them and I'll loosen them at the trailer. And it really depends on the horse.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably makes me a bad person.
No.
I've seen all that going around on Facebook about you got to uncinch them as soon as you get done. I do uncinch them, but the 2-minute walk to the trailer won't kill them.
No, I don't think so.
No. I've had horses that I've rode back to the trailer.
If they're good, and sometimes, if they have a really good run, I really don't care if they'll drag me. I'll get off, and I'll let them drag me.
Yeah.
But.
If you knock the second barrel, I'm riding you back to the trailer.
They don't care.
Been walked back to the trailer so many times.
Yeah, it's okay. It's funny.
So, tell us about, like, when you train a horse, when you start them. If they're... You know, I know every horse is different, but if they're hitting their spots, what does it look like time-wise for you, and how do you start them? What do you do drills? Do you just do the pattern? Like, what do you do?
For the first 3 months a horse is on a pattern, I don't do drills.
Okay.
I want them to hit their spots and not know what other spots to hit. That's my opinion. I know everyone's different. I like drills. For a finished horse, I do drills. I don't really work the pattern. But if a young horse is like a kid, they don't really know what you're asking for. They just want to try to make you happy. So if you teach them the wrong spots, they're going to hit the wrong spots.
So when you say spots for you, going around the barrels, you take them exactly where you would if you were running them through.
Yeah.
Okay.
I try to walk through like I would run, keep myself like I'm running too, because if you don't, you're going to get in bad habits and you're going to get sloppy. And that's one thing Johnny Mitzi's drilled in my head was, if you're walking, do it right, because there's no point in doing it. But they learn so much how to walk.
Yeah.
That it's crazy.
That's what I just was telling Rayleigh coming in. I said, I don't think people understand how much they can do, and I probably wouldn't have known it either, but I don't have a pen.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, every horse that I've ran, which, I mean, I'm not saying that I'm, like, a great trainer, but, like, I'm telling you, every horse that I've ran and every horse that I've finished, they've never made a run at home, ever, in my whole life. They don't make runs at home. And I'm slow. I feel like I'm 6 months behind, like, you or somebody else, but it can be done.
And even without being a great trainer, I mean, me and Timmy had no business, like, finishing Hank, and Hank only had 30 days, and he's never made one run at home. Like, they do. They learn so much. Like,
I'm really fortunate to have really good ground at home. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how we got so lucky. When we were building that arena, we didn't know anything.
Right.
But the ground is so good. It's like Bobby Fraley's ground. Like,
yes.
It's just like that almost.
Yeah.
And I got really lucky with that, and the dad who loves to do the ground.
Right.
So he'd always keep it really good. So young horses, I try to do it like once a week with a young horse, because they got to figure out how to move their feet.
Yeah.
Right.
You're definitely an advantage if you can do that at home.
And I'm really, like, if I didn't have good ground, I wouldn't run them at home.
Right.
And I'm trying to find the happy medium. Like, you can't run them too much.
Yeah.
My finished horses never get ran through the barrels.
Mm-hmm.
Unless there is a terrible, terrible problem, they don't get run through the barrels.
Right.
Yeah,
I don't know. Chick's not even finished, and I don't know the last time she got ran at home.
Right.
Or at that school. That's her home.
Lately.
But, and there's good ground there, but I just don't. A horse only has so many runs in it.
They do.
So I had to learn that the hard way.
Yeah. Mm. I think we all do.
So you're... babies, you're gonna take them, hit their spots, do slow work with them. When do you decide you start kicking it up another notch, another speed.
Whenever I feel like they're confident, and every horse's confident level is different. You gotta know what they can handle. If I think they can handle getting pushed and it not being successful at home, I'll push them. Because they've got to learn from their mistakes. And I think they do.
Mm-hmm.
And if I realize when I run them through for the first time, if they're not ready, we
back
take a
off.
Step back. We don't realize there's a problem and keep going with it. Like, they've got to baby steps, you know. But then, if I start a horse within 4 days on the barrels, I want them to be able to lope it. Like, that's my goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it might not be pretty.
But you
want. But I want them to learn where to put themselves. Because if you don't, they're going to not, they got to know the object is to go fast.
Right.
I feel like. Because if they think the object's to go in there and just look at stuff, have fun, they're wrong. Like, they got to know. You got to push them to know how much they can take.
Yeah.
Do you, once they get to the point where they can exhibition, do you go slow exhibition, fast exhibition?
When they're at that point, my exhibition number I like is 3. Because I'll take 1 very slow trot, just hit my spots, do everything right. 2, I try to, you know, still hit my spots, maybe lope them a little bit. And 3, I'm going to lope them a little bit. Mm-hmm. When they're really, you know, within 2-3 weeks on a barrel, that's my goal. And even when I'm doing work at home, I like the number 3. I don't know why. There's 3 barrels. But you never want to go fast. They're fast. People are like, well, you don't run them. Like, no, but if they're fast as a trot.
Right.
I don't want to trot more than 3 times.
Right.
Or if their lope is a fast, I don't want to lope more than 3 times.
Right.
And you just got to know their limit and not push them past it.
Mm-hmm.
But at exhibition, I like to let them see everything on their first. My first exhibition at a new place, I'm not worried about the barrels. I'm worried about them not seeing anything in the bleachers. Or seeing. I want them to just be comfortable, because if they're not comfortable, they're not going to pay attention to you.
Mm-hmm.
So I let their first exhibition just be kind of whatever they want to do.
Right.
And then their third or second, we pay a little more attention and hit our spots. And then third, it's game time.
Like, you need to pay
attention.
You need
to do your fast, whatever your fast is.
Mm-hmm. I don't think so. I mean, I think that's.
I've never exhibition horse more than 3 times. And I try to back them down to 2 eventually, and then 1, and then none.
Right.
And that's the point I had to figure out, because, like, Chick, I want to rodeo her.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, I don't get an exhibition on a rodeo, I don't even get in the pen. So she's got to figure this out, and I don't want her to figure it out on a rodeo entry fee. I'd rather do it at a little jackpot.
Yeah.
So today's the first time I've exhibitioned her in a while. In a normal baby, I wouldn't do that to. But she's just good-minded and don't really give a crap. Like, walks in the pen, walks out of the pen.
Yeah.
Doesn't drag me into the trailer. So, Bebe, I would not have done that to as a baby, because her brain is really fragile.
Right.
And she didn't have the calmness that Chick has in her.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been excited. Today, she walked in the pen. She'll do that every now and then. Sometimes we'll get stuck in reverse.
But don't expect it every time.
She's so excited.
So do you typically, if you take, when you start a colt, do you generally, within 30 days, do you have them cruising the pattern? Unless something crazy happens.
That's my goal. I mean,
I know everything's different.
It is.
But in an ideal world.
If they are broke.
Makes a big difference.
It should be less than 30 days.
Yeah.
If they are not broke, it takes me 3 weeks to get them broke.
Yeah.
And then I have a week on the barrel, so I'm like, you're going to have to pay another month, or you're not going to have a finished horse. Cause
right.
If this horse don't know how to flex and turn and counter, it's not going to run around the barrel.
Right.
It might for me, because I can
exactly
push the buttons to make it. But
you can fill the holes.
Yeah,
your training can fill the holes.
If
yeah.
someone doesn't know what buttons to push, if the horse isn't broke, it's not gonna do what they want them to do.
Yeah, that's what I liked. Clinton Anderson, which I don't know if you like him or not, but I just think
he's funny.
He is funny, and a lot of stuff that he says is very true. But I think it's funny because he says, if you cherry pick my method, he was like, then you better be, you know, cowboy enough to fill in the holes.
Yeah.
And I agree with that 100%. You know, he's like, you can cherry pick it, but he was like, you better be able to fill the holes in.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think that's what trainers do.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
It is. You gotta.
So what about your finished horses? How often do you ride them? What do you do with them?
I try to ride them, you know, Monday through Friday. They're really for sure Friday. Don't ride, but I always try to give Bebe Chicks getting to the point now to where I'll give them the day off before, because
okay.
I want them to be relaxed. I want them to be rested. I try to do my work ahead of time to where they can have that day off to relax. And it kind of kicks you in the butt. You know, if you go to a 3-day show, they're not going to get the day off on the third day.
Yeah.
But I think it's good for them. And at home, I do a lot of trail riding because we have good trails. And that's mainly what my finished horses do. Or we'll just lip circles, ride in the field. They don't, I don't know. I keep them in really good shape, do a lot of loping and long trotting and circles. They always get the day off before and after the show, and then they get back to work. You get one day.
And trail riding, I know that you said that you do a lot of it. I think living in West Virginia, with the limited resources, that's one of our points of the podcast is for people to point out what they do.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not able to go through barrels or even just like small circles and stuff, and trails keep them in shape.
That's one thing I didn't realize to keep a horse in shape until I went to Texas was the hills. I mean,
yeah.
There's no hills out there. You can walk a horse up a hill and get way more fit-wise than you can loping a horse
on flat ground. Yep.
And it's just good for them. And I had to realize that and try to figure out how to still keep them in shape without that. Because you got to work them a little bit harder. But
I was going to say, what did you figure out that worked?
Basically just loping around the arena, which sounds crazy, and I don't do it in public. But they got to lope straight lines just like they got to turn.
Yeah.
Right.
So
I'll do it in public.
Because they think they're racehorses when you do that.
When you're taking the whole arena. And,
yeah. But now that they figured it out, it's a lot better. And they'll do it calmly.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. For a while, it was rough.
I bet Bebe was like, woohoo!
She loved it.
That's funny.
That is funny. So, if you were to pick three bits to keep in your trailer, what would they be?
The feather bit, which is a Johnny Baker special. I don't know where he got them from, but I'm glad I have enough saved up. But I don't know where to tell anybody to buy them.
That's like the butterfly bit, right?
Yeah, that has a feather on the cheek.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I love that bit. That's
okay.
My goal is for every horse to run in that bit, but they gotta be really broke because it's one step up from an O-ring. Like it's nothing. And when I get my horses back from Cody, they ride an O-ring. I ride them an O-ring for a little while. I don't like starting a horse in an O-ring. My hands don't get along with it. I can't ever get what I want out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm working the barrels, I don't want an O-ring. I just don't.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else, I'll ride in one because it's good for them.
Yeah.
But the feather bit is definitely my go-to. And then probably the JNC leverage bit.
Oh, I love that.
I really love that bit. Mm-hmm. I have not put that on a horse that I don't like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my third one? I don't know. I have a lot I like a gag bit, too.
Yeah.
Or, like, a bit with a little bit more shank than the feather bit that I have, just a little more reinforcement. But I like a gag bit, and I love my Petska bit, but I don't put that on a lot of young horses, because it'll scare them.
Yeah.
I don't like putting a lot of bit on a horse. I know you have to sometimes. But if I start one, I'll hit 20 barrels before I'll put a bigger bit on. Because they shouldn't rely on that bit to do their job.
Right.
Yeah.
They should rely on me and theirself. Like,
yes.
And sometimes changing a bit is the hope you need, too. And that hope lets you achieve. But
yep.
I don't like it. It's not my style.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love you make them do their job. And they should do it in whatever equipment you have.
Eventually, I'll get mad and I'll put something else on them if I need to, but
mm-hmm. That's not your go-to.
And sometimes you have to.
I don't like going any bigger than the leverage bit if it's something I've started and it's me riding it. I know other people don't have strength
and have different hands.
Yeah, and have different hands. Like, it's different for everybody, but for my goal for the horses I start is I don't want a big bit on them.
Yeah.
At all. Because I don't know.
I like that. So as far as maintenance and routines and things like that, what do you do for your horses? How do you keep them going down the road? Is there any special therapies you do?
Well, I like the PMF machine. But when I'm gone, I don't hardly ever get that. But when I'm home,
yeah.
I take advantage of it.
It's
since
nice.
Becca has one.
Yeah.
But if I'm a big believer in you can catch a problem, but you can also make a bigger problem if there's not a problem, because I don't think any horse is sound. Any barrel horse
there's
100%
sound.
They're absolutely not.
They're not.
The vet that I used to use literally has told me that year after year. She's like, you cannot expect your barrel horses
no.
to be 100%. Athletes aren't 100%. And if you're just, if you can't accept that, you don't need to be barrel racing.
No, and yes,
there's a difference, There is a difference in your vet telling you they're fine or just ignoring an issue and not taking them to the vet. No,
like, Bebe have gotten hurt. Elena's, for her, for example, because she's probably the longest 1D horse I've had running, like, that I've kept, not sold, not gotten taken out from under me. she's the longest one that I've had, so, like, I get her vetted, just a lameness, at least once a year. It needs to be twice a year, but she's 8 this year, and she just got injected this December.
Gotcha.
Like, I'd taken her...
She's 8.
It makes me really sad.
That's crazy. I did not know she was the same age as Bernice and Timber. That makes me... They were 3 when we were watching her start, like,
I know.
It does. And, like, I've gotten her vetted twice before that, and they told me she doesn't need injections. And, like, I go to them because I'm like, she runs hard, she turns hard. She needs injections. Like, she needs maintenance. Yeah. Like, I always think she does. And they're like, no, just...
That's awesome.
Just don't. And she has really big legs, so I think that has a lot to do with it. Like, she's not too much horse for her legs.
Yeah.
And, but if they need injections, I'll get them done. Yeah. And,
you're getting them checked out to see if they need them before they're even telling you there's a problem.
I think there's some vets that'll inject a horse over everything.
Yeah, I agree.
But the vet I took her to out there, I really respected what she did there. She was like, she could use injections, but I want an x-ray to make sure there's actually a sign of anything, because she's not lame, she's not off, she's not stiff. It's just a little bit of something there I don't like. So they x-rayed her to make sure she needed them. And that she actually had an issue going on.
That's
right. And a little, not really issue, but, you know, wear and tear.
Yeah.
So I respected that.
And that's a good point. I mean, because like athletes, I mean, they can be sore for a couple days, and then on the third day they're fine. It depends on what day your vet's looking at your horse.
And I try to, they taught me a lot about ulcers. I really hadn't had a horse that I knew. You learn with all of them. They probably all had ulcers and all needed treated, and I didn't know.
Yep.
But she made it noticeable enough that I needed to learn about it and treat her for them every 6 months.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's never any difference. She's always the same baby. So,
Oh, my gosh.
She's basically just a routine.
Yeah.
Omeprazole, Gastroguard, whatever that vet says to give her and maintain it in between.
Yep.
And then I've also treated her for EPM.
So what do you use for ulcers? Do you use a preventative every day, or do you just treat her when you need to?
I keep her on the Gut-X every day.
Okay.
Can you tell?
Gut-X. Wait, which one's... No, the CEP. That's Gut-X, right?
No,
that's not Gut-X. I don't even know what I feed. It's the CEP one.
Okay, I gotcha.
The...
Is it Cool Gut? Or
Gut-Check.
No,
Gut-Check.
I was going to say...
I thought...
Cool Guts die.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's the Gut-Check. And I have went through a lot of preventative supplements with her for ulcers, and that's the only one I've ever seen a difference with.
Really?
The only one. And I like that you can put it in her feed or give it in her mouth, because sometimes she won't eat a supplement. She'll pick all around it.
Yeah.
So I have her, and, like, they get that anytime they go somewhere. If I don't think they have ulcers, but if I think they have ulcers, they get that every day. And then, like, you know, that doesn't treat it.
Yeah, I don't think. Exactly.
No. I think only pharmacological stuff can treat that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So they'll get. I've done the Gastroguard on her before, and then just the Omeprazole paste, both for like 30 days, and then just taper it down, which is expensive, but
it is.
If it works, it works.
So tapering it down, that's I think an important thing to mention to people, that they can actually get rebound if you just cold turkey them off, so it's even more expensive than just the 30-day treatment.
And then what a lot of people don't understand also is, I had a vet tell me this, like, people give Gastroguard the day they leave for a show, but that don't really get an effect until a couple days later, so really you need to give it 2 or 3 days before.
Yep.
For it to hit then.
Yeah.
And that's made a difference. But people don't really always think to prepare for a show on Wednesday. Like, you're not really.
Yeah.
I know sometimes I'm not.
Yeah, and then it's also, I feel like it's so tough because it's, like, not good to keep them on it all the time, but some vets will tell you 2 days before and 2 days after.
Yeah.
And if you're at a 3-day show, that's the whole week.
It
like,
is.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
And at, like, freaking $50 a pop or whatever.
Yeah.
That's hard.
And I don't know. She just is so picky.
Oh, ulcers suck.
They do, and I want to get her scoped to know for sure, because I'm like, I feel like I'm wasting money, honestly, because it never makes a difference. She's still picky. She's still herself. The only thing she does that makes me think she has ulcers is she doesn't like to eat at a show all the time, and it's not consistent.
Yeah. Right.
I've had two horses that I've had to take to Root and Riddle to be actually scoped.
Yeah.
And one I did a scope before and after treatment. And one was actually a horse, Sarge, that I had, and I took him down there, and we had treated him with Gastroguard for 2 months, and he still would not eat. I thought he had, like, a stomach tumor or something. Yeah. Like, I thought there was something, like, majorly wrong with him. Took him down there, and he still had ulcers. And so they had to add in, like, Carafate, and they actually added in a supplement, which is Alamond, which I thought was, because not vets aren't super big on their good, like, pharmacology is what you need to use. There's no replacement for it. But that's the first time that a vet had really, like, recommended a supplement, and they were like, no, like, it really works. We scope before and after. And so they had me add that in, and I feel like that made a big difference. But it's so hard, like, when you're treating and you can't, like, a lot of people and even vets had suggested to me before, like, just spend the money for the scope on treatment. But, like, sometimes if you're treating them and then still something, like, they've still got ulcers, and you that's just assume they don't too. Because you've treated them.
And that's how with her, I'm like, I want to get her scope to know, but I'm like, if I stop doing what I'm doing, she may get ulcers, because she is a stressed out horse all the time and just very anxious. So I'm like, if I'm not doing this, she may actually get ulcers, and it's going to be bad. So either way, I should probably
you're just still going to do it.
Put the money into it.
Yep. Well, and it makes it really hard for us here, which out there, I'm sure it isn't as hard, but you know, like, the struggle here, and I'm sure, especially after living there, like, how much easier it is, but it's not easy for us to just go get a scope. Like,
no, it's not.
You know, you have to, you schedule that out, and then you drive, like, I mean, you have to drive hours to get a scope. You know, it's not just around the corner like it is there, so that's not super easy to do as well. It's just like bleeding, you know. Yeah. They say, well, they should be, you should bring them in within a, you know, so many, and so many hours or whatever after they run. And I'm like, I can't even get an appointment by then.
I didn't even know there was something else you could do besides scooping for bleeding until the other day. And you can get a BAL done, apparently.
Yeah,
BAL.
And you can do that. Like, they can see within a couple weeks.
Yeah, that's what I want to get done. Because
I've had that done, and you can even do that. Like, I had that done on Sarge, that Sarge horse. I had so many issues with him. But
that's my next step, I believe. But
I think it's really good to know, to at least get that done. If you know you have a bleeder, to at least get it done, like, once after you give Lasix.
Yeah.
Because you can, like, that is the only way you're going to know, like, is your dose right? Is it actually working? And I think that's a little bit easier, especially if you're going to big shows, because there's usually vets that are, like, set up there to be able to do that.
I know people are different than horses, but being in nursing school and learning about Lasix, it scares me to just give it and not know they need it. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm torn on that, but I'm like, I don't want to do something, not do something if they need it. So I'm like, I want to go get that done to know that I'm not wasting this on this.
Yep. So big parts of your success, vets and preventative for things like ulcers. Is there anything else that you can think of?
Not really. Just
any more secrets to your program we can pull out of you?
No. Just being consistent.
Yeah, I think, and working hard. That's the two biggest things, I think.
If you were to give people from around here any advice, what would it be?
To maybe, it's not always the horse.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right. But that's not really advice. Advice would be just,
do you think, like, what do you mean by that? So, do you kind of mean, like, we were talking about how sometimes people put human emotions on horses too much? Like, don't necessarily blame a problem for them being mad or they're just being a jerk today. Yeah. Like, it's,
and horses do have off days, but sometimes you have to really look in the mirror and make sure you're doing your part before you go spend thousands of dollars on vet bills. Not, people are probably going to podcast and go to the vet and, you know, think that's the secret to winning. But you got to look in the mirror sometimes, too, and make sure it's not you. Because it can be.
It takes every component. Yeah.
It does. And you've got to do everything. And I know around here, people don't know to go get injections. Cause
it's not here. Like, it's not close.
They don't know to treat for EPM or ulcers.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put the money into it either. But the more you put in, the more you're going to get out.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
Sometimes.
Well, we won't keep you much longer. We appreciate your time very much. But we typically end it with like a favorites kind of thing.
Okay.
So, what kind of saddle do you use?
I use a Robbie Phillips.
Is that your favorite?
Yes. I rode in a Martin for years. Mm-hmm. And I really loved them. I didn't want to change, but I was like, they're so heavy. They're just so heavy.
They are heavy.
I was like, you know, I don't want a lightweight saddle either, but I just want to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
And I sold a horse. I had a little bit extra money. I was like, oh, I'm going to buy a Robbie. They were set up at the Junior Patriot, and I sat in, and I was like, oh, this feels so good. And I bought it, and I didn't like it at first. I hated it. And then it got broken, and I loved it. And I've sold all my Martins now, and that's all I ride.
Robbies.
Yeah.
I like those, too.
I'm spoiled.
Yeah, I like those, too. What about saddle pads?
CSI is the only thing I've rode for a really long time.
Really?
And I really like them. I have the fleece one and the wool one.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on which horse I like that on better. But
I was going to say, does the fleece roll?
No.
It doesn't roll.
No. The white fuzzy ones?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had the felt one roll with me before.
Uh-huh.
And I have never had the fleece one roll.
Really? See, I would think it would be the opposite.
I would think so, too. And I know some people say not, but
I wonder if it's because it compresses more than the felt, so it...
Yeah, like... I really like that one. That's my favorite out of the CSIs. And I haven't had that issue, but once I had my saddle roll on me that time, I won't run without a breast collar. Because I think that's part of it.
Right.
But I also don't know if my saddle was tight. It was tight to my standard, but I don't know. I feel bad sucking the air out of them. So I might have had it. It was Bebe, so I'm too nice to her anyway. So I might have had it too loose.
Oh, that's funny. And what is your favorite bloodline? Do you have one?
I don't know. I haven't really rode enough of the same bloodline to decide, but sometimes I think Proven's more important than bloodline.
Mm-hmm.
I know, like, I've seen some really good horses that are bred phenomenal and not turn out too much, and I've seen them be amazing. Like, Bebe isn't bred that great. They're good. She's further back, Easy Jet and Rare Bar. But I've also had Rare Bars that I've hated.
Right.
So I think it just depends more on the horse. You can... Not all of them are the same.
Well, I think you came from Johnny, and I came from Glenn, and they just made horses.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
They just made horses. Yeah. Like, they could take any horse and get the best out of it. Yeah. That might not be a 1D horse, but...
They're going to reach their best.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, I do think...
And there were very few that were not 1D horses. Yeah. Like.
Right.
It's amazing. I've always said that. You can ask her. I've always said, like, I think the right trainer can take any horse and make them at least half a second off. They might not. It might be, like, bloodlines or, you know, that extra special something for that extra half a second. But you can get them pretty fast. Yeah. Like,
and I want, like, when you're buying a baby, that's really all you got to go off of is the bloodlines and what their mom and dad did.
Yeah.
And, like, Becca's horse Ears made me a believer. Like, she's a bred phenomenal and she's a great horse. Mm-hmm. So that made me think, maybe it has a lot more to do with it.
Right.
You know? Like, she's great. But also, you see all the BFA horses and stuff bred phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the ones that are bred that good that don't ever get there? Like, you don't see the bad
ones. There's a lot of them. Exactly.
You don't see the bad ones. And I think a lot of it is knowing what you prefer. I don't like a super hot horse.
Right.
So I try.
I don't either.
I love crossing them with a cow, but then you lose the size.
Uh-huh.
Like, that's the problem I got with Pig. She just didn't grow to be stridey enough to run in the big pens.
Mm-hmm.
But small horses are fast, too. So.
They are.
Yes, they are, and they're catty.
Yeah.
So, with that being said, who would be your dream stud to breed to?
I don't know.
When you're picking a stud for Bebe in the future to E.T., what one are you going with?
If I would pick one for her, I would have to get something with a little bit of brains. Like, a little bit of calmness. Because she doesn't always pay attention. She'll run into anything because she's not paying attention. Like, when she's in the field, she's just goofy and always in go-fast mode. I love Epic Leader, though.
Yeah.
And I don't know how... I've never rode one of them. but from watching him or like a metallic cat bred to get some brains, especially for her first one, to maybe have smaller babies.
Yeah.
So it's not too big for her because she's a good size. She's not huge, but something proven and smart. I don't want to go to breed to a stud that's bred great and never done anything.
Right.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
I want them and their babies to be proven. So I don't know. I like him and Trace Sace.
Oh, I love Trace.
I love Trace.
Yeah.
And there is a difference, though. I think it's really cool that you look at what they're going to contribute to the baby, like you say, in brains. You brought that up before, even bloodlines, because, I mean, it really does make... You have a horse that's all run.
You can't ride papers.
That's all race horse. It makes a difference.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it does.
So to pick a stud that complements your mare, I think is super important.
It's really... Like, Pig, I'd take her and breed her to the hottest, fastest horse there is. Yes. Because she has such a good brain.
Yeah.
Her baby needs something a little more upstep and... Like, when I put Braylee on her, she won't hardly move. She's so lazy.
Right.
She needs something for that baby to just be a powerhouse.
Yeah. Right.
Because she's got the confirmation and the brains part. So.
Yeah.
And they take a lot more from their mama than they realize, I think.
Oh, no. I did a TikTok with, I have three out of my mare, and they all walk exactly like her. Like, they all walk with their head, like, really low, like a pleasure horse, and just, like... It's just fun, and she did that. Like, I used to ride her in split reins, and her nose would be, like, that far from the ground because, and they all do that.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's so funny.
People get into the studs a lot.
I think the mom has more to do with it than, I mean, I know the stud does, but I think, in general, the mare has more
to do with it. The mare who raises it.
But even the ones that are raised by recips, I still think a lot of them have, from what I have, like, seen, a lot of them still have the mannerisms of their mom, even being raised, like, by a recip. So, I think that's crazy. Mm. But, well, is there anything else you want to say or anybody you'd like to thank or...
Just my family and everybody. And Michael and Cody for breaking all my horses. Because I couldn't do it without them.
Okay, it takes a team
to get someone. So
yeah,
I'm a testament to that. Yeah,
well, we are so excited to have you back with us this summer, Taylor. It is always a good check to have someone as competitive as you to run against, and
not always.
You're always we fun have to be around and so humble.
Yeah,
thank you. I try to be.
Yeah, and helpful. And helpful.
I don't normally suggest stuff first, but if someone asks, I'll tell them.
Yeah.
I don't. Some people don't want to hear it, and I know there's times I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You're always really helpful, and we are happy to see you back this summer, so good luck. And
thank you, y'all too.
I'm sure we'll have you in some winter interviews this summer.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to our podcast, where we're not so rich,
not so famous,
but we're all trying to be.